And also a little bit aside from that, too, that really irks me are album covers and how the images of what how vulnerable women are portrayed in on album cover pictures and things like that. They're really bad. It's not really quite advertising, but it's still images portrayed.
Yeah, sitting across from me right now is the album Living with Lesbians, Alex Dobkin's album that I played that song Toughen Up from. And when that album first came out, I really thought it was ugly. It's got a picture of five women on the front standing with hoes and dressed in jeans, you know, and fixing up the ground. Hoes that you hoe the ground with. Mm-hmm. To farm with.
And at first it offended you?
It was ugly. Uh-huh. It's not an attractive picture. And just when you said that now, I just got such another sense of that album cover and how nice it is in a way to see strong, tough women doing something.
Well, just even about the issue of clothes, which is also images and advertising that are portrayed all over, is that women's clothes are flimsy and light and unpractical and things like that. And you walk into the men's part of the department store and they're nice, sturdy, warm, clothes, you know, well-made clothes, and you know, I see it that way at any rate.
Oh yeah, yeah. And well, I said this earlier in the program. One of the things that amazed me when I mostly stopped wearing conventional women's clothes, was that by buying winter coats and jackets in the boys' department, I can be warm in the winter. I had never been warm for 30 winters, you know, until I started buying snorkel parkas.
It's a difficult thing, though, you know, particularly if you're working in situations where, of course, there's the double standard.
Yeah.
Very hard to get by, you know, comments all the time.
Well, I suppose there are, you know, compromises that we can make. You know, I mean, nobody, I think, has to wear high heels, really high heels, or shoes that really distort your feet. I don't know what I would do if I had a job where I had to wear clothes that a snorkel parka looked inappropriate with, because I would be hard-pressed if I had to give up being warm in the winter at this point. Okay, we have more calls coming.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling about advertisements I see soliciting volunteers for the United States Armed Services, which invariably include more men than women. And I'm also very offended by documentaries I see about coal miners who get black lung, about 99% of whom are men, and I'm a specialist in hunting out feminist contradictions, at least as I perceive them, and I would like to know if women understand those particular implications of the Equal Rights Amendment, and also if they understand that the reason many women oppose the amendment is because of fears of having to share in unpleasant parts of typical masculine activities like dying in wars and dying of black lung.
That's an interesting. Yeah, I'm sure that women's fears of those things.
More about it from an organization called the American Macho Revisionists that I plan to start.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
yeah.
Sister.
Thank you. I think. I'm not sure. WBAI, you're on the air.
Why do I always get these spots? What is this?
What?
This is your roving reporter.
Hello, roving reporter.
Raving reporter.
This is...
a wonderful call just now. I really had an answer to it about 2 seconds ago. But I want to get on to the ad for a moment.
The self-defense ad?
Yeah.
Okay, can I introduce you?
I think the fellow who called about 18 calls ago about painting something on the ad.
Yeah.
It's a thrilling idea to hang from the roof of the building on this two-story ad that I saw. I don't know how he would want to do it, but I'll be glad to cheer him on.
He was talking about subway ads.
Oh, the subway ads. Well, what you do in the subway, you know, is anything at all. You just walk up to it and remove it.
He suggested that, but he was also, that was the kind of ad that he was suggesting replacing with your own.
I think some of these men should really sort of get up there on the buildings. There are some pretty high buildings and very, very high signs, 3-4 stories high. The one I'm thinking of is the whole side of a building and 2 stories high on 7th Avenue South. I don't know the exact address, but it's below Sheridan Square. The thing about the self-defense, lack of self-defense ad, is I'd love to see a lot of women get together. I mean, you know that in general, but in particular to maybe we should, I thought if we bought this stuff, it would really be terrible. And I'd hate any of us to be arrested for shoplifting. And we all know what happened to Eddie Lamar and all those people. Who's making a comeback, by the way.
Is she?
Yeah, as an actress. I was thinking that maybe if we spray the Max Factor offices with this stuff, but I don't know how we'd get it. They might really, you know, get the hang of something. I know what it smells like, you know. Using ammonia myself for self-defense, I really don't know what this stuff smells like. The importance of it, I don't know, I missed a short part of it because I had a telephone call when you introduced it, but the tremendous importance to me is how the advertising company that did this did a total turnabout, and it's not this nice pink plastic bottle. It may be plastic, but it's not pink. It's white and serious looking. It's got a picture of skyscrapers on it. And the anger-producing thing at first was that you really get sucked into it. And you think, hey, you know, okay, they said a pretty face. I mean, women who are 80 are raped, and they may have very pretty faces to some of us, but I don't think most young men would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's deceptive in that you read on and you see it's for a moisturizer. So all we have to do, gals, ladies, women,
sisters,
is to put some moisture on and we'll be safe. And it's a very horrendous message that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more I think of it, I have it on my wall. I have removed several. Put them in various places where women could write on them. Their graffiti is very interesting. I find it a very insidious ad, more so than some of the blatant ones that some of us can look at and say, oh, God, there they go again, this gorgeous woman draped over a whiskey bottle or something. I mean, obviously the whiskey needs something to sell it more than the whiskey itself. Or maybe, you know, I just don't know. I think it's so demented that it's hard for me to relate to. But this is so... it's such a direct steal for and put down of everything that we have worked for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And some women for more than, much longer than that. I personally for about, well, short of 10 years, that I can't even begin to plumb the depths of it. I think that I don't know how to go about successfully fighting it. I mean, there are just so many things you can write on something, and the message doesn't always get across, especially to women who are not familiar with some of the language. Like when we use the word CR,
Women
say, I don't know what that means. That's a consciousness raising. You know, we've fallen into a language of our own, and that's a problem. Because there are many women who would be offended by it, but don't quite know why. You know what I mean? They're not into karate.
Yeah.
They're not into carrying a weapon of some sort. They're not involved in it. So you really have to make it very... it would only... What that caller was saying would only relate, I think, to a limited group of women.
Well, I'm...
I could be wrong. But a lot of women do not relate to self-defense, period.
You could write a letter to Majority Report soliciting women to come up with ways of defending ourselves against self-defense.
And we are having meetings, and nothing specific is happening yet because the meetings haven't happened. With Florence Kennedy has a large group of women who are already protesting makeup companies and other... sources of oppression like that, and she was excited about it. And then there are New York Women Against Violence, And I'm going to get to them all, and something possibly will come out of it, perhaps a class action suit. I called Max Factors, by the way, and curiously enough, I got a young woman on the line, and I don't know what office it was. It didn't sound like a switchboard. And I asked her who the advertiser was, and she said it was in Hollywood. She was rather reluctant, and then she did say that she'd gotten several phone calls before mine, and she thought it was all rather silly. And I proceeded to very reasonably explain to her why it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure I had her attention when we were disconnected.
Hmm.
So...
call back. Hmm? Call her back. Continue the conversation.
I mean, you know, it's... I'd like to hear more. The calls are interesting. And as far as the call before this one, I really don't... I don't want to go into all of the pain that women have during their lifetimes, if you know what I mean. I think it's daily. I don't think we have to really defend ourselves against not... many women are killed in war, and many women are... I have a friend, as a matter of fact, if this young man would like to know, was wounded in a salt mine upstate about 2 weeks ago. She's a miner. So apparently he's not very well versed in his subject. There are women working in salt mines in, I believe it's either Ithaca, one of the cities upstate. And I could document that for him,
yeah.
But I don't, you know,
yeah.
have the information. But you can trust me, it's true.
Well,
so that's, you know, a totally false premise. And if things like this are going on, we all know it's just a bunch of silliness and not waste our energy on it. I'd rather see women getting together and doing something important like this. I think this is somewhat important. I think there are other things, too, like going out to the women's conference in Houston, which is going to be well attended by women from the Ku Klux Klan, ladies, as they said, ladies. Their ladies are going to be there as delegates, and anybody who has any money or can get any money should really go there. I'm working on it myself, getting the money, not being there. I'd like to be there.
Well, I hope enough of us get there.
I hope
I'd
so.
Like to be there myself.
Okay, I'm interested in some more calls, so...
Okay.
Ta-ta.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm really glad that the woman called a few calls ago about the pants ad. Well, about the one you're talking about, too, the self-defense thing.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those particularly offended me, but the pants ad more, really, because it wasn't as transparent. I missed the beginning of the program, but I guess you're talking about A Pretty Face Isn't Safe in This City.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And other advertising images that particularly exploit our vulnerability, and some of the new ones that exploit rising consciousness itself.
Yeah, well, that...
Like the pants ad and the self-defense ad.
They both do both those things.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to offer the image of a liberated woman while
mm-hmm.
actually pointing out that one isn't. In fact, that pants ad, a line of the copy actually read something like, I make my woman wear this, or something like that. You know, just incredibly macho. But, and one that's similar to that is the, you know, the Gentlemen Prefer Hanes series? You
no.
remember those?
No.
They're for stockings, and they have a picture of
two
women in a public place, and the woman with the man is wearing a beautiful pantsuit, but he's looking off at some other strange woman who's wearing a skirt and stocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's backlash advertising, which is a little different. I mean, that from the ones that actually take off from an increased consciousness about wanting to be strong.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the best thing to do is not to buy the product. It's not the only thing. I think, you know, programs like this is important, or what Ms. Magazine does in their no comment section.
Mm-hmm. And I think also then getting in touch with the manufacturers.
Yeah.
and letting them know why people are not buying their products. They're pretty vulnerable to that, you know. I mean, if they get storms of protest.
That's true, but they're also vulnerable to an ad campaign not working for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about all this, I mean, in this case, I agree that all the things that I could mention are things that I would be into doing or, you know, might have done, including, like, putting your own copy over the sign. That's a wonderful idea, though, you know, it's a hard thing to do by yourself. But,
also expensive and, I assume, would need...
Yeah, but for a group, you know...
Yeah.
As a project, you don't have to go that big in scale, you know, aesthetically. There were little stickers that some women's group made a couple years ago that said, just like, this ad exploits women, and they, you know, you would see them all over all those ads in the subways.
Yeah, it becomes, as I said, it becomes a problem after a while, because if you start really looking, it begins to seem as if 95% of advertising does exploit women.
Well,
you know, and you just, I was just informed that that was started by Boston Now.
This ad exploits women one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the
ex-member of Boston Now just waved that note at me.
Oh,
proudly.
What?
A former member of Boston Now just proudly waved that note at me.
Well, it would be interesting to know the reason for her disaffection with Now. But
She moved.
I thought you meant that she had quit in a huff or something.
No.
But ultimately, one thing that I don't like about women's tactics or any other minority tactics is what is sometimes an overemphasis on trying to legislate change rather than to either take power or opt out. In the case of the advertising, you know, more women should either run cosmetics companies or run advertising agencies, which is much more important for that kind of thing, or opt out of wearing makeup, which is, you know, definitely a choice.
Yeah.
Or
both.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just in the case of advertising, like, it's probably here to stay, and one can't imagine a world in which most people are advertisers. I mean, inevitably, it's a situation where the majority have to bring pressure on the minority. But I mean, I just don't think politically that it's a good idea to do too much sitting back and complaining that other people ought to change things for you rather than going ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have to do it ourselves to a large extent. Okay, we have more calls coming in, too.
I'm going to hang up, but one subject that maybe you have gone into it in some detail, but if not, I'd like to suggest if anybody has comments... I see so many women wearing those very pointy stiletto heels and sometimes mules, which you can just fall out of, all the time now this fall. And I can't imagine... I never thought that would come back into style, and I just don't understand it.
I do. I understand. I mean, I don't, and I do. I understand why...
Well...
Why we get brainwashed into those things. I mean, we wore them once, and we wore them... for a long time after we knew they hurt our feet. You know, we I think it's real important that we continue to point out to women that they do not have to walk around with their feet hurting. Okay, I want to take...
Just one more thing about the ads, which is men are exploited too, even if, you know, you look at it as women being exploited because the women are the ones who are draped over the whiskey bottles or whatever, but... The men are victims, too, because they can be preyed upon by imagery like that, and they're susceptible to it. And, you know, it happens to be a few fashion models who pose for those ads, and who are very highly paid for it, incidentally. But it's the men who are suffering, if that's what sells whiskey to them.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, they suffer too. But they still suffer from being in the position of having more power. And being degraded by that and dehumanized by it, it's still a different kind of suffering. I want to take these other calls.
Right, bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, a lot of television commercials convey the idea that a woman needs a man's penis to survive. I can give you two examples. One of them is a woman, it's an advertisement for Betty Crocker's cake frosting, and she says, I can frost this cake using a paper knife, and she's using this phallic-shaped paper knife. They show a close-up of her spraying the frosting on the cake, and at the end she's standing next to a man, and he asks her what she thinks of the frosting or something. And there's some frosting at the tip of the knife, and she takes her finger and lifts the frosting off of the tip, and she licks it and says, oh, it's great frosting or something like that. And there's another commercial for Freshen Up Gum, and three men ask three women what they think of Freshen Up Gum, and all the women say, I love that squirt. It's very subtle, but it's there.
Yes. I hadn't noticed, but yes.
Oh, yeah. They have a lot of phallic symbols in TV. Like they'll use balloons or something like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's real scary when you start delving into this, isn't it?
And some of it's even subliminal. They'll put it on frames that we can't even see.
I don't want to think about that. I don't watch TV anyway. It's all right. I don't see that stuff.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
They can get you when you don't even know it.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
I think I mean thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Judy. I just wanted to comment briefly on the Max Factor commercial. My initial emotion was that I was saddened rather than angered, the way I am at most commercials that exploit women. This commercial not only exploited, you know, my cerebral matter, but also something very, very personal to me, and that was my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense that the violence that was behind the commercial.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that made me sad. You know, in terms of anger, I think the Tickle commercial is more one of anger for me.
What's that?
Tickle is a deodorant, very phallic-shaped container, and there must be about a 30 to 45-second ad, and it's just different women in different lied-back positions and just laughing about how wonderful Tickle is. And, you know, it's not really too subtle. It's pretty upfront.
A deodorant named Tickle?
Tickle, and they're just laughing hysterically. You know, figure out what Tickle is, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's there.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
I'm getting an education. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
I am really getting an education today. I think I've been away from television for too long. I think I need to see what's happening. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, can I speak to the lady who's doing the program now?
You're on the air now.
I'm on the air now. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, excuse me. I'm an actress, and I've done quite a few commercials, and I just tuned in on your program and had a few thoughts about it. First of all, there is a committee of women within Screen Actors Guild who are investigating the image and the role of women in television, and particularly commercials. The point is that, you know, we don't pay the salaries, and so we don't have a great deal of power. Sometimes we're able to do very small things. For example, I was up on an audition with another woman, and we were waiting for the man to come because he was the spokesman. You know, we were supposed to say, why? What should I use that? And he was going to say, because. And we just said, look, why do we need to wait for a man to come? We'll alternate parts. Well, the man has to be the spokesman. And we said, well, come on now. You know, give us a go at it. So there is an attempt by a lot of actresses who need to do commercial work simply to survive financially, to do something about it. But I think that that's really a drop in the bucket. I think that there are a great many women employed within the advertising business. I've never had a female director, but I've had female producers and copywriters, casting people.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that we have to take an overall view of this being a capitalist consumer society. And that even though it is important to have shows such as this where one's consciousness is raised by listening and catching things that maybe other women have seen that you haven't seen, I think that's important. But I think that while we have a consumer capitalist society, we will always have exploitation, particularly of women, and the images will just change.
Mm-hmm.
As you've already mentioned on the show today, exploitation of the movement itself, or a distortion of mm-hmm. what they think the movement is.
Yeah.
That's all yeah. I wanted to say. It might be interesting, though, for somebody from the women's group and Screen Actors Guild to come on the show sometime and talk, because they would really have much greater information than I would. They put in thousands of hours watching television and documenting, you know, the various things that actresses have to do.
Can you tell me how I can get hold of one of them?
Yeah, actually, I'll just send the information to you.
Okay, do.
Okay?
Yeah, don't go away. I wanted to ask you
okay,
something.
Okay, fine.
I agree with you in a large measure about a lot of this being a function of the whole society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't mind, I would like to ask you a hard personal question.
Sure.
What would you do if you were offered a job holding that can of self-defense and saying a pretty face isn't safe in this city?
Yeah, I've had this discussion with many of my friends. What I think I would do is that if I do a commercial that is offensive to me,
mm-hmm.
I take part of my salary and contribute it to an organization of women that I think can possibly combat some of the junk that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
That's blood money.
Yeah.
I certainly don't
yeah.
feel good about that. On the other hand, I think
yeah.
that I know that if I don't take the job, another actress will, and that means that I have to pick up part-time work as a waitress
yeah.
or whatever, which is another form of exploitation in terms of low-paying jobs for women.
Yeah, I asked that question, by the way. I mean, I also write certain kinds of crap for a living.
Yeah.
That are not that I don't feel proud of, and that I'm you know, sorry I have to do that, but that's what I have to do for a living.
Yeah. Well, it's
so.
You know the Bertolt Brecht play, The Good Woman of Szechuan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you take from the exploiters at night and do your own work at the day if you possibly can, because if you stand up in an office and say, this is exploitive crap and it's degrading to women and I'm not going to do it, they say, fine, dear, we'll find someone who will. And so then maybe even that contribution from your salary is not made to an organization of women that can possibly do something about it.
I also want to say that I used to write ad copy for a living,
uh-huh.
and I did have a bottom line. I would go in and say, I won't do this. I won't.
Yeah,
I won't.
Yeah. I have a bottom line too. I have a feminine deodorant spray stuff like. I mean, don't send me up on that. I won't do that. But it's usually much more subtle than that, as you know. You
yeah.
know, they want you to be just slightly dumb.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you understand what I'm talking about there.
Oh, yeah,
I will try to get in touch with somebody from the Screen Actors Guild Women's Group and see if they might want to come on the show and talk to you about some of their findings.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey,
thank you. Thank you very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Oh, I'd just like to comment on the high heel. Hello?
Yes. Yeah, you're on the air. Turn down your radio. Hello? Did we lose that call?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'd like to comment on the high heel shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have your radio on?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, turn it down.
All right, hold on.
Okay. We're on delay here, and if we pick up your call and talk to you and you still got your radio on where you can hear it, you hear
conspiracy.
Yourself. Hello?
I think that when people were out marching in the streets and moving and demanding certain rights, I think was the time that high heel shoes were introduced again into the marketplace, not only for women but for men. They're very damaging to the body,
mm-hmm.
to the kidneys, cuts off the circulation to the brain.
Yeah.
And increases weight. So I believe it was a conspiracy.
A conspiracy to keep us off our feet.
That's right.
And out of the streets.
That's right.
Well, yeah, those real high heels, and there's a certain kind of shoe that no one ever wore except women. You know, that no men ever wore, the ones that not only had high heels, but very narrow high heels that you can't even balance on.
Of course.
And those always have seemed to me for years the contemporary version of keeping women, what is it, barefoot in the summer and pregnant in the winter. It keeps you off your feet and helpless.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Everything to the
hello, WBAI. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, I'm Amania. How do I?
Yes. Yes. Turn down your radio.
I just wanted to turn my radio down.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of ads that co-opt this new consciousness, so to speak, that ad for Clairol, in which a woman is sitting by the seashore and she's painting. And she says,
yes.
This I do for me.
Yes, I saw that one.
See, that one, this I paint and I wash my hair with Clairol.
Yes.
And, you know, I have such a busy life.
It wasn't a shampoo, it was a hair dye.
It was a hair dye, that's
yes.
even worse.
Yes.
Wait, could you hold the wire a minute? My radio is still too loud, okay?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did see that. I watched, I really, in the last 6 months, I probably spent two evenings watching television. And one of them was
hello.
The other night. And I caught that ad.
Back and forth,
yeah.
breathless. Hello, am I on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. It was really hard to say why that, I couldn't pinpoint one reason that offended me so much. But I think she was kind of saying that it was okay that the rest of her life wasn't lived for herself, providing she had these, you know, all you need is a few little things, and you can, you know, put up with the rest of it. This was supposed to be her liberation, that she had these things she did.
Well, that, and also the idea of equating the painting...
Painting, right,
with,
completely
with,
trivialized art.
Yeah.
Not only that, but her, even showing that art is a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Related to the rest of her life. Which,
yes.
You know, because there's a lot that, you know...
Yes.
Yes, interesting thing about art. And, but I don't think I could conceive of a man saying, you know, this is what makes it worthwhile. You know, I wash my hair with this, or you know, like he's such a martyr that this is all he has. You know, and also of course the whole idea that they're co-opting. This is supposed to represent the new woman who is interested in doing something for herself,
yeah.
not just for her family and you know and all these obligations.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just such a miserable co-optation of it.
Well, it. And it goes back, I mean, that implication that she dyes her hair for herself goes back to when I, in that other life we all lived before there was any feminism, you know, I always had a problem with makeup. I couldn't care enough to remember to wear it more than 2 days in a row. And
it never worked.
And
you know, we've got oily and greasy and mascara got all over the place.
Yeah, but the women I worked with always used to try and explain to me that if I really respected myself, I would wear it. And I knew, I was, it really confused me because I had a sense that, I mean, my own sense of it was that the more I respected myself, the less I would have to look like someone different from who I was.
Uh-huh.
And yet there was this really pervasive sense. I grew up in the 50s.
Me too.
Where you know, books of advice for young women said, if you respect yourself, you will not appear in public looking like yourself.
Right, exactly.
And
I think, okay, that came out of perhaps the valid idea that a person should take care of themselves, their body, basically, but it was so distorted.
Yeah.
That was even, I don't know if this is still the case, but in mental hospitals, that was considered one of the ways you would know that a woman was getting better.
Yeah.
When she started to wear makeup and very conscious of how she looked.
Well, see, I mean, that gets so heavy then, because then it really, then we really have to look again. They would certainly not think that that was a sign that a man was getting healthy.
Right. Yeah, I got that when I was growing up. I was even taken to task by my parents' neighbors at one point and told that I could be so beautiful, and why didn't I take care of myself, and I could be one of the women riding around in the convertibles with the wealthy men if only I would wear makeup and take this attitude. I was once given a group lecture by all of my parents' friends in the 50s on that basis. Yeah, something just crossed my mind, which I've got to tell you. I also am doing a job which I don't really like in terms of, you know, compromising with the ad world. I'm a proofreader, and I read the stuff all the time and make it look better. And just yesterday, I read an ad for Princess Marcella Borghese nail stuff that makes your nails hard and beautiful and pointy and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my life, I had always wondered how women with these super long, not all of my life, but in the 50s when I was, you know, thought I should be concerned with those things, I had wondered how these women with these super long nails had managed to keep them that way, because mine always broke, and they never remained that way. And in the ad that I read last night, she gave instructions of how to keep your nails looking long and beautiful, which included things like, once a week, take 12 hours when you don't do anything at all with your hands to give your nails a rest. Never open flip-top bottles, pick up coins, or do all kinds of things with your hands that could conceivably break your nails. And it was a regime for obviously a very wealthy woman, or a woman who didn't do very much.
Or a woman, you know, or any ordinary woman really caught in a conflict between the, you know, what looking as, I mean, what working, what being a person does to you. And looking the way she thinks she's supposed to look, which is as if she's never done anything.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to say one more thing to that man who called before, who said he's an expert in ferreting out feminist contradictions. I thought that was hysterical. First of all, I want to say to him, I'm glad we have another supporter for the ERA. No matter who he is, since that was his implication. Secondly, there are just as many men who are against the ERA because they're terribly afraid of the discomfort of not having their meals cooked every day, every night.
Yeah.
And that kind of reasoning. And what else was I going to say? Yeah, this whole as far as starting a group called Male Macho Revisionists, he really doesn't have to bother. I mean, there already is such a group, and it's called the Establishment or the World or something.
Yes.
So if this guy, you know, this guy thinks he's going to be a hero by starting such a group, he is a well-known type of man who is attracted to this because it, you know, it seems to be some way he can gain some fame for himself. But you know, we're really not that easy to pick on. You know, we've seen this type of person before who thinks this is a, you know, a big game and a big heroic thing to do this. It's really very silly.
I wasn't even sure what he meant.
You know, he thinks he's very important because he found a contradiction in supposedly women's thinking, and he doesn't even understand what he's talking about. But it makes him feel good, so, you know. At least I hope he supports ERA, if that will make any difference.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you for calling. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello. Hello?
Hello? Yes, turn down your radio, please.
I wanted to say one thing back to our pretty faces and Safe in the City. I think that very often when there is an overt insult, such as that is going one way, there are also very subtle bad vibrations coming from it. And I'm saying to myself, this cat who jogged through Central Park, knocking down each passing lady that was out there jogging, I wonder what he thought when he saw that ad. I wonder how it supported his own malfunction. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, those things are out there. There's a lot of ads, not all of them totally detrimental to women one way or another, but there are many ads out there that support a really primitive concept of life in general.
mm-hmm.
and that are read by usually semi-literates who certainly don't get any great subtlety out of it. They get what it says. Excuse me. A pretty face isn't safe in the city. I was terribly offended when I first saw that one. And I must have to say, as a man, apart from its second, and or to me, it was secondary, but just as malicious, when the next line did not say to go and take courses, I realized that they were taking something so basic to this city and perverting it to sell their damned merchandise. I thought it really was a scandalous ad.
Yes.
Secondly, I wanted to say I gathered from the time slot you said about how often you watch television that you didn't see, but perhaps you heard about the Jean Parr or Jeannie Parr on CBS this morning.
No.
Well, she had a program about women in the labor forces and different problems they encounter, mainly, and I guess this is the one that's bubbling around at the moment, mainly about equitable medical plans for pregnancy, as another guy might get if he went off for, you know, breaking his leg or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But during that program, they brought to the attention, I think for the first time that I've noticed it, the mayor's office program, which is called Affirmative Action. And you've got people down there who are very seriously and very heavily pursuing contractual obligations. Now, they cannot change the world, but they certainly can make sure that contractors bidding on or who have contracts with the city, and it's now dibbling around in a statewide level, will have to fulfill their obligations in terms of hiring. So when the guy said there's nobody in those jobs and that, I wanted to pass on a number to you where women who are interested or who know, either interested in that, in those fields of employing, I'm talking about the building contractors,
mm-hmm.
if they're interested in that field or if they know of any contractual activity that one way or another does not seem to be sustaining its obligation for equal employment things, that the number to call down there is
566-6752. Mm-hmm. 566-6752, and that's the mayor's office.
It's of course it's concerned with minorities as well, you know, mm-hmm. Racial minorities, males, etc. But one of their fights right now is not to allow the new quota structures to equate women and minorities, and therefore, as it were, get them at odds with each other. That is, the male minorities and women in general,
mm-hmm.
at odds with each other by what they call double counting.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, I got six women working, so what? That's not supposed to account for six black males as well. The women should not be counted double if they happen to be black or Hispanic or whatever, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all those problems have an official, a city number there that's relevant, and that's 566-6752.
Okay, thank you very much. That's 566-6752 is the mayor's office, and we still don't have a number for how to deal with offensive media ads. I think we're still going to have to find ways to get together and protest them. Are there? Yeah, I'm going to take one more phone call, and I wanted to have a chance to reverse the tide of. Oh, okay. Sorry, WBAI, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, I watch TV, and I know a commercial that exploits women. You want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's this commercial for stovetop stuffing where this man asks these women what do their husband like to eat. So when they say one thing, then he asks the husband what he like to eat, and he says stuffing. So what they're trying to say is even though the wife cooks every day, she still doesn't know what her husband likes to eat for dinner.
Yeah, that was one that I also found irritating. Not to mention the fact that in any case, it's a peculiar kind of product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. I wanted to reverse the feeling. We have been drowning, I think, this afternoon, or at least I feel like I've been drowning in these images of women at our most helpless, at our most vulnerable. And I wanted to, before we quit, I wanted to feel a different way.
There's a mist out on the moors. Everybody's locked their doors, for it's said there is evil on the wind. And it's said when they appear, they will cut off both your ears. If you happen to be unlucky enough just to see them. But I swear I saw a cat with a broom and pointed hat, talking rhymes and sounding like my best friend. In the witching hour, you come to your power, you feel it deep inside you. It's rising, rising, and you think it's a dream until you hear yourself.
Willie Tyson singing my daughter's favorite song, Power to the Witching Hour, from her new album, Debutante. This is Judy Pasternak, and we have been talking about self-defense and other images of women in the media and in advertising on More Than Half the World. I will be back next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And between now and then, you can listen to a lot of other women's programming on this station, starting with the Real Live Lesbian Show at 9 o'clock this evening with Carmen Garcia and Rebecca Tron. Tomorrow night, no, you don't. You don't hear women's studies at 9 o'clock on Wednesday nights anymore because Viv Sutherland's program has been moved to Saturdays. On Thursday at 9 o'clock, Irene Yarrow's Every Woman's Space. On Saturday at 3 o'clock, Viv Sutherland's Women's Studies. And on Sunday at 1, The Velvet Sledgehammer, a women's magazine of the air. And that, by the way, I have to say, that is the new, improved Velvet Sledgehammer. It's really, I'm enjoying, I even enjoyed listening to it on Sunday. Because we've gotten a lot of things together, and it's a full-fledged magazine program right now. It has lots of reviews and features and women's news. It has hot flashes from Majority Report. And listen to it if you're home. Until next Tuesday, have a good week.
Make is at perfection.